We're welcoming Katie Yo from Able Ensemble. Katie, how are you doing here today?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So, midnight tonight, will you and Lawrence be up or what?
Remains to be seen.
Okay. Do you believe in the new year as a chance to take stock? And
oh, yeah. I mean, it's nice, I think, to reflect back and make some plans and set some goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just really like to sleep, so...
Enrique's texting me. He's a little sick under the weather, and unfortunately, we're hosting people tonight. I mean, I'm excited to have people over.
Right.
But I think Enrique is like, let's just go to bed. Let's just kick everyone out at 10:15.
Well, I think this is, if you've noticed, there's a correlation between parenting and going to bed early before midnight, and it's because it's exhausting full-time work and usually on top of other work that people have to do.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Katie Yo from Able Ensemble. Oh, I was so excited to see your show just a couple weeks ago at DePaul. First of all, for people that don't know, tell us what Able Ensemble is.
Yeah, Able is a nonprofit organization here in Chicago, and we create theater and film projects for, with, and by actors with Down syndrome and other developmental disabilities.
And when you say for, with, and by, you really mean it. I mean, these are creations from your actors.
Yeah, we do a wide mix of stuff, but the kind of heart of what we do every year is that we do get to devise and create our own work. So everything we do is infused with the imaginations and the spirit of the actors we work with.
I mentioned Lawrence. You guys started this together.
Yeah.
How did this come about?
Lawrence, my husband, and I, we were volunteering for Gigi's Playhouse Chicago, which is an organization.
Oh, that's a great organization.
Yeah.
I know about them.
We love Gigi's. They do a range of programming for individuals with Down syndrome. And so I had started with another actor friend of mine, just a weekly drama club. And we decided to do a play, because that's what you do when you're doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence and I were just dating at the time, and I brought him in to teach stage combat for us, because we were doing a production of Romeo and Juliet. Really unambitious first production.
Right, yeah, really.
So he came in to teach us sword fighting, and then he just loved being with the group, and it's morphed over the years into this wonderful organization that I get to lead. So Gigi's gave us a great starting point to kind of test some stuff out and meet some families and get to know people, and then the program just kept growing and growing and growing, and we became our own organization in 2016. And, yeah, just still moving on.
I got a chance last year. Well, no, it was still this year, technically, to go to one of the rehearsals and walking through how that works. And I was just so inspired by the team that you have there and the actors and actresses. Because it's about, obviously, the performance, and that's a great aspect of it. But what I learned from talking to the moms, a couple of the moms that we interviewed, too, is that what these actors and actresses do on stage or in practice, it translates to what happens at home, too, and with their friends, and that's a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anybody who's had any sort of involvement in the creative arts can attest, right, that it's about so much more than just making a play. You're working on social skills, you're working on teamwork, you're developing confidence, right, and learning to say yes to things and take other people's ideas. So these are all great life skills that we all need.
Not only will it affect the actors and actresses, but also the families and the loved ones around them, too.
For sure. I mean, I can't count the number of times that I've had parents say things after a show like, I can't believe she did that, or I've never seen that side of him before, or that's something that, you know, I never thought would happen.
And that happens no matter what walk of life you're in. People tend, especially in your family, to see you and others in a particular type of role, and this kind of breaks them out of seeing these actors and actresses meet challenges and overcome them and showcase a different side of themselves for their family. That's got to be inspiring for everybody.
It's great. And I think, you know, we do write our own shows. We also do classical productions every year. So I think, you know, getting up on stage and doing Shakespeare is not necessarily something that would be expected, right? If you've got a room full of 20 individuals with Down syndrome or whatever needs our actors have. We're just constantly kind of trying to break the mold as much as we can.
So I'm just impressed. So from what you're telling John, it wasn't as though you had a personal connection. It wasn't as though a family member was suffering from Down syndrome or another handicap.
No, I don't have any. I don't have any individuals with disabilities in my own family. So
because usually it's, you know, having a loved one go through an experience that draws you towards a cause. I find that a lot with nonprofits and organizations, and it's pretty incredible that that you've been drawn to this life's calling.
Yeah, I and it is. That's exactly the way to phrase it. I was an actor first and foremost. And I did my undergrad at Syracuse University, and there's a program there that was started by two faculty members who had a daughter with Down syndrome. So I worked with that program and got to sort of see just this other way that I could use this craft that mm-hmm. I was working on in a way that felt more organic and meaningful. And, you know, I think it's hard when you're trying to be an actor, and especially
she used
as a
air
woman.
Quotes there,
yeah,
by the way.
I did yes. use air quotes on actor. Yeah, when you're, especially as a woman, right? It's like you're too short, or you're too this, or you're too that, or you're not enough of whatever. And it's so, so intense and hard. But at the heart of what we're doing is, you know, you want to feel joy mm-hmm. with performing. And that's kind of, for me, what it was about was, well, how could I be a person who gets to say yes to other mm-hmm. people, right? And who gets to find the fun and the community in it instead of all that heady stuff.
So the participants, you mentioned Down syndrome, but does it also extend to, all walks of life in terms of like physical disability as well? Or
we focus primarily, so we did start inside Gigi's, which is Down syndrome specific. So a lot of our actors have Down syndrome, but we do have actors who are on the autism spectrum. We've got actors with cerebral palsy. So we look at developmental disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yes, that's a perfect term.
And so not only is it great, obviously we mentioned what you can take home, the lessons you can learned, having some fun, but it's you told me this before, Katie, the idea being that especially with these teenagers or these and young adults who are in classrooms with other students of all sorts of different abilities, that a lot of other students might say, oh, here's what I'm doing this weekend mm-hmm. and here's where I'm going out. And then for someone with Down syndrome, that might not be, it's quite an open possibility of what they have. This gives them something to be excited about, to tell their friends about, that they're driven, that hey, I'm doing something this weekend and here's what it is.
Oh yeah, everybody's so proud. And I think that, you know, we're a creative outlet first and foremost, but we're a social outlet just as much. And we try to make it as fun an experience for everyone. So we definitely have actors in our ensemble who will look at you in the eye and say, I'm going to be an actor, and that is my job. Mm-hmm. But we've got other people who just want to come and hang out with their friends, and it's just a way for them to be together and make a social network.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, but I want to talk a little bit more about what happens at the shows, because I was blown away. I don't know what to expect, because I had met a lot of the actors before, and it exceeded my expectations by far. I want to hear more about that with Katie Yeo and Able Ensemble here on WGN. 720 WGN, we're continuing our conversation with Katie Yeo and John Hanson Jisoo Kyi here till 12:30. And G, we were just talking during the break, because you kind of had a
yes.
moment where you were like immediately caught yourself saying...
I did, I had a moment. And I want to apologize to anybody that was listening. It was just when I was actually referring to handicap, what I was thinking about was a physical disability, mm-hmm. not a developmental or a
right.
cognitive.
Yeah, we had a couple
yes.
texters text in, and
yeah,
she
yeah.
is like
so,
this
no, I'm,
most amazing human on earth.
Yes,
so
yeah, absolutely.
But
and I've
inclusive language is a really, it's hard and it's changing all the time, and different mm-hmm. people have different preferences. And, you know, I think just you've got a good
sometimes
heart.
I don't even like the term disability, to
right.
be perfectly honest. So it's I know that I've heard developmental disability. Mm-hmm. I've heard
differences is usually what
developmental
I
differences, but even disability,
yeah.
it's just a... what is the, you know, it's
there's
like
no
it's,
proper catch-all.
I think if you put 10 people with a disability in a room and ask them, mm-hmm. they would maybe all have
yeah.
different feelings and different feelings about what they prefer. So that's really, I think, the key is if you're talking to somebody with
right,
you know, you ask them what, you know, same as like with pronouns. I think we're all trying mm-hmm. to, you know, be more aware of this, right? Ask someone what they want.
It's generational too.
You
because
can also say developmental challenges. No,
I would veer away from challenges because
okay.
challenges according to who.
Right,
that's true.
Right,
and I know this
definitely
might be-
no longer even the term. I don't think people even use the term special needs at all.
Yeah, the big campaign was there's no special needs, just
right.
human needs,
and that
okay.
was apropos for a time, and it's not.
Yeah. And I know this for listeners out there that might feel like this is an awkward conversation. I think it's an important one, and just I think that if you come to the table at least saying, tell me what you think, empower me a little bit, teach me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think then you're coming with an open mind. Most people are forgiving for mistakes along the way.
I think that's true.
I'm wondering, though, if there will never be a stable term, because what seems to be happening is every time we develop a new one and form a form of consensus around it, it comes to represent that and then is seen as some form of insensitivity. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to move on to the next one.
Yeah, things get used pejoratively, I think, and you know that's the, what happened with the R, right? The R word was medically
yes.
appropriate for a long time, and
right.
then people started using it to not mean
what it
meant,
right.
and so you know I think that's where it comes down to someone's intention, and I think you being able to read someone's intention if they're coming in with, and you were just, you were asking an honest, open-minded question.
Yes, and I honestly was asking about physical disability. Yeah. I wanted to know the range of your clientele.
Yeah.
And my nephew is autistic, actually. Cool. So this is something that would be right up his alley in terms of...
We had a question right off the bat. Someone that wants to know the website for Able Ensemble. My niece has Downs and would love it. So why don't we get that right off the bat?
Let me clarify. Not to say just because you have a family member, it excuses you from knowing proper terminology.
No.
How deep down this political correct rabbit hole can I go?
Let's keep finding. Get out your shovel, G.
It's... You're doing your best. We're all doing our best.
Mm-hmm.
So, Able Ensemble, we are www.ableensemble.com.
E-N, Ensemble. That's kind of, and you do the E in Able and the E in Ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different one.
Yes.
So, just Google it. That's usually the best way to go about it. Okay, so, I went to a practice, and it's not like a traditional practice, I imagine, that a lot of people would expect. There's a lot of, there's games. Like I said, there's a lot of like, theater practices.
Kind of
there's games. There's things that gets people comfortable, but I love what you guys do is you give everyone a chance to be the star. There's no like set roles where one person is the lead, right?
No, we try really hard to make it fun for everybody and to showcase all the different abilities of our cast. So I think, you know, we've got actors who participate in different theater programs in schools and other areas, and you know, depending on what their abilities are, they might just be stuck in the background playing like a flying monkey in The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. But for us, everybody, whether you're able to memorize your lines, whether you're able to read, whether you communicate verbally or not, we're going to put you front and center for at least one special moment.
Well, I love how you have really specialized in terms of being able to meet the needs of everybody that's coming to participate
individually,
because that takes a lot of innate skill and intuition on your part.
Yeah, and I will say we do have a great team of our professional teaching artists and also our volunteer facilitators who really work to build relationships and get to know each actor in the ensemble so that we can showcase everybody to the best of their abilities and what really lights them up and interests them.
So I just saw Enrique and I went to a show at DePaul. And it was something for Amuse.
Oh, for Amuse.
And I was really, we were just blown away. I didn't know what to expect. I think a lot of people might have, they might have in their mind what a show with a lot of actors that have Down syndrome might be. And this, I don't know why, I don't know how to put it in words. It was not what I expected. They were incredibly talented on their own. There was legitimate, obviously, acting, interpretation. They had come up with the play with the help of, you know, Lawrence and other writers too, to come up with a really incredible story. I also was blown away at how your staff does it and how they're with different actors and actresses, and they're moving around the stage so that there's always someone right there next to one of the performers to help them out if they need a line or with a movement or whatever it might be. I was blown away.
Oh, that's so kind. We had a lot of fun making that show.
So let's talk about the nitty-gritty. How are you sustaining this incredible organization?
Well, we are a nonprofit, and a young nonprofit at that. So the majority, and aside from programming fees, which I hate that's we have to rely right now on programming fees. I'd love to get to the point where we don't have to ask the families who participate with us for money to move onwards. But we have a lot of wonderful individual donors who give to us throughout the year, and obviously ticket sales account for a small portion of our budget as well. And we're just at the point as a nonprofit where we can really start pushing for bigger grants and other institutional giving. But individuals are really where it's at.
What do you guys have coming up on the calendar? I know you're just, luckily you and Lawrence got away, a nice vacation.
Yes, there was a vacation
after the show. And you flipped the calendar tomorrow. What do we got coming up?
Well, tonight at midnight, our year-end crowdfunding campaign ends tonight at midnight. So that's all that information's on our website. And then we have a big fundraiser every year, Trivia Night. Quizzable Trivia Night is February 15th. Our teens and our adults will step into rehearsals in mid-February. The teens are working on an adaptation of Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors, written by Braden Cleary, one of our teaching artists. And our adults will be devising their own show. It's O for Amuse Part 2.
Ooh, that's right.
Looking at more props and objects from Shakespeare and how we can make those our own. And then we are also in pre-production for a web series.
So, oh, cool.
That pilot will be up and running hopefully in the spring.
So if someone's listening right now and they have a loved one that is has developmental differences, how do they reach out to you? How do they get involved?
I mean, me personally, you can email me. If you click the contact button on Able's website, that comes straight to me. But it's admin, A-D-M-I-N, at ableensemble.com. And there's lots of information on our website about our different ways to volunteer, ways to donate, ways to register for classes.
It was originally primarily a teen organization, mm-hmm. But you've transitioned to allow some adults or to have adults there. Talk us through that, because there's what people may not understand about how our school systems work. Things change when you turn 21 years old.
22.
So talk us through why you guys wanted to start an adult program too.
Well, we did start, as I said, inside Gigi's Playhouse, and we had six actors at the time, and then it's, you know, snowballed and grown and grown and grown, and then those first actors who kind of started the organization with us faced this transition where they turned 22 years old. You have to leave the Chicago public school system, but then you're also losing a lot of the youth programs that they come to depend on. And within the disability community, it's called falling off the cliff at age 22. It's not just in Chicago. It's a nationwide thing where just the programming for people once they're adults just kind of stops.
Mm-hmm.
But the needs don't stop and the interests don't stop. So we were watching our actors face this transition and what was out there for them and what wasn't out there for them, and just realized, you know, we have a responsibility to continue the relationships that we've built and make sure that everyone still has a safe space to make friends and explore creatively what they need.
Did you mention the age range yet? Or
yeah, so our teen program starts at age 15. Okay. So we'll do 15 to 21, and then our adult program, which was a big thing for us in 2019.
That's
starts
huge
at 22
because there's so many services that are cut off.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I've featured the Happy Apple Pie Makers mm-hmm. in Oak Park, and they actually make it a point to make sure to employ adults with developmental disabilities because it's so difficult for adults to find jobs.
It's really hard, and that's a big thing for us in 2020 is thinking, you know, how we can expand our adult ensemble program, but also what other things we can bring in that, you know, different points of entry for adults, including employment opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the needs don't stop mm-hmm. just because you've turned 22, and especially as their caregivers and, you know, family members are getting older as well. You get more and more, you know, it gets more and more complicated. And for the Down syndrome population, also the, you know, Down syndrome individuals with Down syndrome have a statistically higher likelihood of developing Alzheimer's disease as they get older.
Ugh.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff to unpack in there. So we know that we need to be doing as much as we can to support the adults.
Amen. You know, I think that going to the show, I think it helped prove that you're not just going to a show because you're like, oh, this is a different little thing to do. Oh, this is good for them for doing this. No, you're going to see an artistic, it's an experience. It's like going to any other theatrical show. You're going to get some things that you don't expect, and you're going to leave emotionally changed.
Yeah.
Whether you're laughing because they're just so funny in certain parts, whether you're crying because there's like any theater production, there's a wave of emotion that rushes on through. So one more time for people, if you could give out the website and more information to find it.
Able Ensemble, A-B-L-E ensemble.com, and you can find us on Facebook, /Able Ensemble, Instagram @Able Ensemble. Just come check us out.
All right. Katie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.